this is a journey into the authentic tales of real cowboys, beyond the whitewashed Hollywood version. Today, we uncover genuine history that's been obscured by Hollywood and historical erasure. Join us as we explore the untold legacies of cowboys through the history of the unseen Old West. Picture Hollywood's Wild West, vast, sun-soaked landscapes with lone cowboys framed against the horizon at sunset. These crafted images, popularized by old Western stars like John Wayne and Clint Eastwood, distort history. They present an idealized, straight, white, and traditionally masculine cowboy, erasing real cowboy contributions and promoting a harmful idea of masculinity. This myth was crafted to justify westward expansion and erases the history of real life cowboys. The cowboy myth gained prominence in the U.S. mostly in the 20th century, fueled by influential figures at the time, one of them being Buffalo Bill Cody, a performer with a traveling show in Print Adventures. His shows, though popular, featured harmful reenactments perpetuating stereotypes of cowboy and Native American conflicts. Also by President Theodore Roosevelt, who, despite growing up in New York, called himself the Cowboy President. His fascination with the West extended to even leading the Rough Riders during the Spanish-American War, a term that he borrowed from Buffalo Bill Cody. Wild West shows and films like The Lone Ranger, True Grit, and The Marble Man ads all romanticize the cowboy lifestyle, ignoring the impact on indigenous land and the violence against Native Americans by white settlers. Hollywood's portrayal of the cowboy perpetuates the romanticized manifest destiny, and the exclusion of black and brown cowboys reinforces the skewed narrative that upholds white supremacy. Even in contemporary shows like Westworld and Yellowstone, Hollywood still clings to a cowboy portrayal that's dominated by white characters, overlooking the authentic diversity that defines the real cowboy history. In the Wild West, the cowboy's narrative is tightly intertwined with the legacy of colonization. Spain introduced horses and cattle to what would eventually become Mexico. According to the article, The Original Cowboys, they say that because Cortez and the other conquistadors saw themselves above the labor needed for the growing livestock, they forced their enslaved Moorish people to complete the work. So according to historical accounts, these enslaved black Muslim men were the pioneers of true vaqueros. Vaquero comes from the Spanish words vaca, meaning cow, and ero, meaning worker. So together it was like a cow worker or a ranch hand. So as the need for vaqueros grew, the Spanish law changed to allow Native Americans to ride horses, but only for the purposes of work and without saddles, which were the mark of the gentleman. Ironically, anyone who has actually ridden a horse knows that it's harder to ride with no saddle, so the indigenous people became superior riders in the end. So the joke is on Cortez. By the 17th century, descendants of the Spanish and Native Americans, and one could speculate the Moors, were working cattle using Spanish methods as the first generation of Mexican vaqueros, and go on to significantly influence the American ranching industry. These vaqueros played a crucial role in shaping the Old West, teaching others their skills. Yet, Hollywood's portrayal perpetuates a whitewashed, cisgender, heteronormative image that doesn't reflect the real diversity of cowboys. The Old West had individuals from all walks of life, including queer and trans cowboys. Historian Peter Bogue revealed that in the early 19th and 20th century, hundreds of individuals lived their lives as the opposite gender. Meet Charlie Parkhurst, widely known as One-Eyed Charlie. They were a stagecoach driver who navigated the Californian frontier in the late 1830s. Charlie's adventurous spirit started at a very young age, at the age of 12, when they ran away from a New England orphanage and they adopted a life as a skilled male horse handler. During their time as a stagecoach driver, tragedy struck when a horse kick resulted in the loss of one eye, earning Charlie the enduring nickname. Little did the world know that beneath the rugged exterior lay a secret. Charlie was assigned female at birth. This revelation was concealed until their passing at the age of 67. One-Eyed Charlie's gravestone bears witness to an extraordinary accomplishment, casting a vote in the 1868 election. This remarkable act gains even more significance when considering that women wouldn't gain the right to vote in the U.S. until 1920. Shifting our focus to two spirit individuals, they have a rich and enduring presence, both in pre-colonial times and to this day. Traditionally, Native American two-spirit people were male, female, and sometimes intersex individuals who combined activities of both men and women with traits unique to their status as two-spirit people. In most tribes, they were considered neither men nor women, but they instead occupied a distinct alternative gender status. One of the most famous Zuni two-spirited people is Wewa, who played a crucial role as a cultural liaison between the Zuni community and outsiders. Invited to Washington, D.C. by anthropologist Matilda Cox Stevenson in 1885, Wewa educated anthropologists and advocated for their community's interest. However, the impact of European colonization on two-spirited individuals like Wewa was deeply troubling, marked by discrimination, persecution, and profound cultural erasure. They faced marginalization as European gender norms were imposed, and missionaries sought to civilize Native American communities through forced assimilation efforts. Despite these challenges, Wewa stood resilient in their identity, emerging as a significant figure in the two-spirit and LGBTQ+ community. During the height of the Old West era, laborers played a crucial role, with a significant portion of being Black, Brown, and Indigenous folks, as well as formerly incarcerated and gay people. Many of these laborers had complex pasts, having been enslaved, on the run from the law, or disowned by their communities due to their sexuality. The livestock industry, particularly after the Civil War, expanded as Native people were being displaced for settlements and cattle lands. By the 1880s, beef had become a dominant industry, leading to the establishment of professional cowboys known as cowpunchers, drovers, buckaroos, wranglers, or vaqueros. However, despite their crucial role in shaping the American West, these working-class individuals faced a complex situation. They were offered limited freedom, low pay, and often dangerous working conditions. This dilemma reflected a broader issue. A system where a few thrived at the top while many struggled within an exploitive economic structure. In the article, The Lesser-Known History of African-American Cowboys, it discusses that in the 19th century, driven by the pursuit of cheap land, white Americans migrated to Texas, a territory of Mexico at the time, and brought their enslaved individuals to work on cotton farms and cattle ranches. Despite Mexican opposition to slavery, its prevalence increased, reaching over 30% of the population by 1860. Texas then became a Confederate state in 1861, following the Mexican-American War, and utilized enslaved labor during the Civil War. Following that, as emancipation left ranchers without free labor, desperate for help, they reluctantly hired skilled African Americans as paid cowhands to round up cattle in a post-emancipation landscape. African American history scholar William Loren Katz says, "Right after the Civil War, being a cowboy was one of the few jobs open to men of color who wanted to not serve as elevator operators or delivery boys or other similar occupations." Katz himself is the author of 40 books on the topic, including the novel The Black West. Despite the golden age of westward expansion, Black cowboys have been largely relegated to the shadows of historical erasure, with it being estimated that nearly 1 in 4 cowboys was Black during this crucial period. For example, Nat Love, widely known as Deadwood Dick, stands out as a prolific Black cowboy and rodeo performer. He was born into slavery in 1854 in Davidson County, Tennessee. Nat Love learned the skills of roping, herding, and branding cattle and horses as a young boy. Despite the laws against education, Nat Love learned to read and write as well. Love's adventures during his cattle driving days were numerous, and he became a legend. According to one, Love earned the title of Deadwood Dick after winning a shooting contest in Deadwood City. The name was common at the time, based on a series of adventure novels, but Love would become one of the most famous to claim that name. In 1907, his memoir, Life and Adventures of Nat Love, intricately captures his experiences as a cowboy, trailblazer, and marksman, and it's free to read online, and I'll link it down below if you'd like to read it. Similarly, Bill Pickett, of African and Cherokee descent, played a pivotal role in shaping cowboy culture. Born on December 5, 1870, in Travis County, Texas, is the second of 13 children. As a child, Pickett attended school through the fifth grade and then began working at ranching. By the time he was 18, the family had moved to Taylor, Texas, where he and his brothers provided cowboy services. Pickett gained fame for bulldogging, which is a technique involving grabbing cattle by the horns and wrestling them to the ground. And he joined a traveling show called the 101 Ranch Wild West Show in 1905. And unfortunately, with this group, he faced discrimination at rodeos and sometimes had to say that he was full Native American in order to perform. Despite these challenges, he toured the world with the show and appeared in early motion pictures. But tragically, Pickett's career was cut short when he was kicked in the head by a horse and he passed away on April 2nd, 1932. He was recognized as the first African American inducted into the National Cowboy Hall of Fame in 1971. And he was also recognized in the Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame in 1989. Building on this historical context, let's next explore the often overlooked influence of Chinese immigrants on the cowboy narrative. In the 1870s, their substantial presence was evident, constituting nearly 30% of Idaho's population. However, despite their significant contributions, Chinese immigrants' role is often obscured in history. Around 15,000 Chinese men played a pivotal role in constructing the Central Pacific Line of the first transcontinental railroad, a monumental project that shaped the landscape of the West. However, their journey was fraught with challenges, including the enactment of the Chinese Exclusion Act in 1882 and facing racial violence. In contrast to the diverse perspectives that we've explored, the Hollywood image not only omits these narratives, but it also perpetuates stereotypical gender norms, which is a stark contrast to the authentic and varied experiences such as that of Harry Allen. From 1900 to 1922, Harry Allen emerged as one of the most notorious figures in the Pacific Northwest. In the wide and wild west, Allen defied traditional gender norms, dressing as a cowboy, keeping a trim haircut, and speaking in a baritone voice. Assigned female at birth, Allen's refusal to conform with societal expectations made them a perpetual suspect, facing charges ranging from theft to bootlegging. Allen's identity challenged the norms of the time. In a 1908 interview with the Seattle Sunday Times, Allen expressed discomfort with their assigned gender, stating, "I did not like to be a girl, did not feel like a girl, and never did look like a girl." Despite societal challenges and legal issues, Allen found near infinite possibilities in men's attire, working as a bartender, a barber, and a longshoreman. Their resilience and determination in living authentically on the frontier serve as a testament to the diverse and complex history of the American West. In the 21st century, the cowboy image is transforming and challenging traditional portrayals with influences from music and online movements, all celebrating the diversity in cowboy history. However, it's vital to recognize the enduring impact on indigenous communities, considering the violence and erasure inflicted by imperialism and colonization. This era marked a dark chapter in history, and learning more about indigenous heritage is crucial. By educating ourselves about their history and culture, we can work against the erasure and violence perpetuated by American imperialism. It's also important to note that the individuals mentioned here represent just a fraction of the people who lived and contributed to the West. The history of this era is vast and complex, and there are likely many others whose stories remain undocumented. Each tale adds nuance to the intricate tapestry of what we think of in the Wild West. As we conclude this journey, remember that history is a living, evolving story. Challenge your understanding of what you thought you knew about history, because there is so much more to discover than you think. If you enjoyed uncovering the hidden truths of the Old West in this episode, you'll want to check out our episode on queer coding in Disney Villains Next. Similar to this episode, it explores the crucial role of proper representation and storytelling. And if you enjoyed this, please leave a like, comment, and share your thoughts about the cowboy legacy below. All that stuff really helps out the channel. Thank you for watching, and until the next time, friend.